Working the 9-to-5 can be such a grind. We can all feel slave to money, but how do we break free from the rat race in 2021? Today, we look at working smart to achieve our financial goals in 2021. We'll do this all while drinking Bordeaux from the regions of Bordeaux in France. I'm Alex with Edo, and you are listening to the Glass of Success podcast.
Welcome to a Glass of Success podcast, where every Thursday, wine and business enthusiasts come to be informed and inspired. Now, today on the podcast, we try Bordeaux and we discuss all about working less in 2021. So sit back, get your wine glass out, and let's get into it.
So this is that part each week when we try a different bottle of wine and give our review. Edo has brought along a bottle today. So Ed, why don't you tell us all about it?
So today I've decided to bring for these episodes a bottle of Bordeaux, which wine that I've rarely tried before. So I was curious and I said, why don't we try Bordeaux together today? And Bordeaux, so for those of you that don't know, it's from the Bordeaux region in France. And it's the grapes are Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, and Merlot. So I'm going to taste it now, and I'm going to tell you my honest opinion about this Bordeaux, okay? So I will say that this is medium body red wine, and I would expect it to be actually fuller body, but it's quite medium body. And I'm not feeling such a big cherry flavor that is usually something you expect from a medium to full body red wine. However, I will feel more something like berries, and you know, I tell you what, I feel vanilla. Okay, I feel vanilla. So if I have to pair with something, I go with, you know what, a nice roast beef with vegetables. I believe it's gonna be a great pairing. It's quite dry on the taste, and slightly acidic. Not too much, so that means that it invites another sip. So it's quite pleasant wine overall.
Thanks, Ed, for bringing along this bottle. This has definitely been an interesting flavor and an interesting taste, and I think definitely one worth to get if you are into red wine. And you're thinking about having a bit of roast beef anytime soon. So to find out more information about the wine, head over to our Instagram, where each week we post pictures of the wine from each podcast. Next, we will continue to drink and find out all about working less in 2021.
Now, each week there's a topic relating to business and self-improvement, which we go into depth about, and today we will discuss the topic of working less in 2021. Alex, we go through the main aspects. Go for it, Alex.
In 2021, it is the first time in history humans will have to manage themselves. We have increased options, an increased influence, such as social pressures and opinions, on these options. And this is why in 2021, we have to focus on how can we simplify that process and how can we work less. So let me go through the main aspects. The first one is review how you spend your time. Now you can do this via a personal diary. That is a recommendation. But basically you want to be able to collect the information so that you can start to manage it. The second is become more efficient. So outsource means to delegate your work. But you can only delegate once you are clear yourself on how to complete that particular job. Too many times people delegate work, get it back, and realize it's nothing that they wanted because they themselves didn't know actually how to complete the task, so they gave it to someone else. It's so important to go through the hard tasks yourself and delegate the easy tasks. That way you can focus on what's really important and not give the hard tasks to someone else who are then going to screw that up or potentially screw that up. Not the other person's fault, but that's because you need to understand what you are trying to deliver. Now, the 4-Hour Workweek is a great book reference for outsourcing. This is written by Tim Ferriss, definitely worth a read, and it will detail very clearly how to outsource. Now, the next step in becoming more efficient is to automate. So this is where you create a process that can be carried out by a machine or person. Okay, so when you have a list of tasks that you do countless times, it could be writing an email, it could be managing your diary. These are tasks that you have to do every day. Now, if you can find a way to automate that process, so when a email comes through, let's say you outsource someone to check your emails, you give them a process, a way that they can sort out your email, for example. And then they put things into your diary, they manage your emails, and anything important comes straight back to you. And this is that concept that is discussed in the 4-Hour Workweek very clearly. But definitely you want to look at, what is the process? What are the tasks that are really important? What do I need to do? What can I give someone else to do? If I have to do the task myself, how can I find the process on doing that task that either a machine, because we've got technology that can do that, or find someone else, like saying, delegating again, to do that, but making sure they follow the exact process that you've laid out. When you're trying to become more efficient, there's a lot of pre-work, there's a lot of work that you need to set up, but that's so important to then being able to become more efficient if you're clear on what to do. Now, the last thing I would suggest in becoming more efficient is then to scale up. So once you've figured out how you're going to delegate and what you're going to delegate, and then you've figured out also how to automate that process so it just keeps reoccurring without you getting involved, then you can scale it up. So whether you do more tasks of exactly the same, or whether you take on new tasks, find new processes, automate different parts of that, and scale it up. But obviously the preferred option would be to take what you're doing already and multiply it. Now, the third, and this is, I think, one of the most important points, is as human beings, we need to stay busy. And after automating your life and after delegating those tasks, you're going to have free time. And that's so important, to add life after subtracting work. By not being bored, we remove time to think. So this is really important to note, that it is vital that we have time where we do nothing, that we are bored. Because when you are bored is when it's your time to think. So as you get older, as an adult, you tend to have more responsibilities and more things that fill up your time. And I think as kids, we kind of stay in our rooms and we have sort of less activities and less things to do, and we kind of feel bored because we've got nothing to do. But that's when those bright ideas come to us. That's when the big ideas come to us. That's when the most important things we think about come to us. And if we're busy all the time, we're not going to have time to think of those big ideas. So that's very much important, to adding in life instead of just working all the time. So these are some of the benefits, but also they're the main aspects of working less in 2021.
Well, what you listed are very valuable points. I agree completely with all of them. And of course, these are just the tip of the iceberg. Then you need to really put yourself into it, and it's all comes together when we talk about building habits and perform them daily, to then have time, remove the work and distractions, and really think about how can you improve yourself, your life, and eventually the life of the other people. So, because we are living in a very particular time, as you said before, 2021. So we need to focus on really what's important, the values that we want to transmit and move forward are different now. So really to think about common living and how we can do that without stomping on each other's foot and many other big problems that there are like nowadays. But yeah, I believe that these points, they have to be common knowledge to everybody. And you have to intercept people like early, in the early stage of learning, such as college, even before high school, when you give like some sort of motivation and framework where they can set these points, because you know you're never ready when you enter the world of the adults. So I believe that if you set these points in early stages, you'll be ready then to be more prepared and actually think about that big idea that really can save us all in the future or implement our lives.
Totally. And I think you've touched on a very good point there, Ed, actually, that it's another one of these many things that they don't sort of teach you at school. I think when you go to school, it's about working the hardest and not working the most efficient. And I think those kids that you actually look at that are that achieve those great results, they've actually, a lot of the time, be quite efficient and find ways to be efficient at the work they're doing. I remember being at school myself and working very hard and not necessarily getting the results. Now, there's always a discussion of everyone has a different IQ and some people are smarter than others. However, there's some really basic fundamentals here that sort of bring everyone onto a more even playing field. And if you understand this early, like Ed's saying, you'll definitely benefit yourself greater because you can start those habits early. So I just want to touch on two different resources. Now, this podcast is like more of an introduction, and this is something that you have to actually action yourself. By taking away these two points that I'm going to give you, this will help start you on that journey of understanding working less. So the first one I've already mentioned, which was The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. Now, he's got a really great tool, and it's available on the internet. You'll find it in our show notes, and it's called The Dreamline Structure. Now, this is a step-by-step guide to setting clear goals. Now, we've done goal setting. This is a bit different to that. This is kind of like your life goals. This is something that if you want to set on a high level. And what you do is you select different goals for having, being, and doing. And you then find out the costs of each of those goals. So it could be, I want to have a nice house to live in. Nice, obviously make sure you define that maybe a little bit more. And then you'd associate the cost with that. So 500,000, let's say. Now, that's a massive goal and you can't achieve that tomorrow, let's say. I mean, I can't in my situation. But what it makes you do in this template, and it's available as an Excel sheet, so everything is automated, which is brilliant. It gives you the ability to write down clear actions about how you're going to achieve these now, tomorrow, and the day after. So if that's your big overarching goal, your having goal is having a house, then what are you going to do now, like today, right now? What are you going to do tomorrow? And what are you going to do the day after to help you to get to that goal? Now, the reason I share this with you is because this is actually a tool that helps you to automate your goal setting. And when you do that, it gives you clear focus. It means that every decision you're doing throughout that day is based on those clear goals that you've set for the future. Now, the second tool I'm going to share with you is not really a tool in the sense that you can use it, but it's a clear understanding or clear truth that you need to sort of carry with you, almost write it out and put it on your phone in your background or put a piece of paper with this written on it in your pocket to remind you of this particular point. So this is the paradox of the pursuit of success. So this is the paradox of success. There's a couple of different terminologies for it. Now, I'm going to explain the phases that you go through, and this is very much related to work. Now, this tool comes from Essentialism by Greg McEwen. Okay, so the first phase is, with clarity of purpose, we succeed at our endeavors. So imagine you, on your first day at work, you've got no tasks to do, and you're very clear, and you've had time to think, and maybe it's that week you get time to find out what you need to do, and you get really clear focus, and you're coming in with a goal, you've come in with your dream, your passion, and you've got a very clear purpose of how you're going to succeed. Now, of course, you've come with your clear goals and you succeed. And success will give you a reputation as a go-to person. Now, this will present with increased options and increased opportunity. So this is phase two. So you're successful. Everyone knows you're that person they need to go to. And you start getting more opportunity, more options. Phase three is increased options and increased opportunity lead to a diffused effort and you're spread thin. So when you start getting more options, you start becoming spread out, your attention starts to be diverted everywhere, and actually you don't come in with that clear goal like you did at the start. So phase four is distracted of our clarity and purpose. So to understand the paradox of success means that you know when you're going down the wrong path. It's very important to say no. And this book actually explores that topic of having the guts to say no. So in society, we put an emphasis on people that say yes, as that's doing the right thing. When actually, we should be applauding people that say no. Because those people that say no can stay on that clear, focused, and straight path. They're not necessarily working less for the sake of working less, but they're working on the things that are the most important. So I think, Ed, that's kind of the tools and the techniques that I'm sharing a little bit of how I think of working less. Because for me, it's not about actually working less and sitting on a beach all the time, because actually, you know what? That's boring. I'm talking about working on your goals, which actually means you don't necessarily work a 9-to-5 anymore. You can maybe work and earn money outside of that regular income. But what you're doing is you're focusing your attention on things that you want to do and actually having that ability to, in a sense, to work less or doing a job that you actually enjoy is like not working at all. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I do agree. I do agree on most of the points. One thing I want to clarify is the point four, which is distracted of our clarity and purpose. Yeah, it's true to keep your goal very clear in mind, your purpose. However, there's ways, there are ways of saying no to people, okay? Because I believe that helping other people will always come back. And the more you help people, the more you will receive back. But you don't have to, even without asking. So, and it's, you know, it's a fine line because, you know, where you stand more for your own goals. So you're a bit of selfish because you want to, you have long-term plan, or you want to help people on the short term and create a better environment. To then maybe can these people help you in the future for your long-term goals? You don't know that. So it's a bit, you know, there's a beautiful book called Give and Take about this point, if I may add. And so if you guys are interested on how to be successful in a work environment relationship and when to give and when to take, this book can really help you out with that. But other than that, I like the points you listed. I think they are really clear, simple, and actually, yeah, it's a good framework that can be useful with the Tim Ferriss framework as well. So these they go along together, I'd say. So now I'm gonna explore with you guys the 80-20 rule, which is such a fascinating concept. I have looked into it in the past days. And basically this universal truth, it's about the imbalance of inputs and outputs, and is what become known as the Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule. So legend has it that one day Mr. Pareto noticed that 20% of the pea plants in his garden generated 80% of the healthy pea pods. I'm such a curious dude, this Mr. Pareto. This observation caused him to think about uneven distribution. And then he thought about wealth and discovered that 80% of the land in Italy was owned by 20% of the population. So I'm not going to bore you with the story, but I just want to list you some key takeaways that they're really, really useful. And I'm going to show you how they're going to be useful in a second. So the first, it's the 80-20 rules maintains the 80% of outcomes or outputs come from the 20% of causes or inputs. So just to repeat, 80-20 rule maintains the 80% of outcomes or outputs come from 20% of causes or inputs. In the 80-20 rule, you prioritize the 20% of factors that will produce the best results. A principle of the 80-20 rule is to identify an entity's best assets and use them efficiently to create maximum value. And the last point, it's that this rule is a guideline and it's not a firm mathematical law. And I find it fascinating, and especially because recently I'm working on creating content for this food and beverage brand. And I'm telling you, for example, a few points when I'm using the 80-20 rule principle and apply to the business or in the economics or in my work specifically. So let's say I'm working for this brand, food and beverage, and I have analytics and I ask myself these questions. So what are the 20% most performing posts that gave 80% of interaction on social media? So once I define that, can I improve upon this topic and get more traction for my content that I'm getting now? So that's the sort of analysis I'm doing, you know? So it's like, it's super cool. And then I go again, which is the 20% of my audience that engage with my post the most? I'm going to explore that 20% of audience, because most of the time, that 20% of audience gives the 80% of engagement. And also when I create content, am I aware that if my sales and promotion are 20% of my overall content, can I afford to invest more money and effort into satisfying my top 20% followers? And also when looking on the analytics of my website, which sources comprise the top 20% of the traffic of my website? So all this sort of analysis is actually really, really interesting, and I find myself to see the 80-20 rule also in real life, which is like a bit worrying. I think I'm into it a bit too much. But if you think 80% of the time I spend in my house is just I spend 80% of the time in just 20% of my house, if you think, because I stay in my room 80% of the time, that's crazy. 80% of the time spent on your smartphone is consumed by just the 20% of your apps, right? And to reach 80% of my daily goals, and if I deep focus and I use all the frameworks we talk about, I just need 20% of my work time. So whether in business or in life, if you understand your 80-20 principle, you can apply it, you really can drastically change your future outcomes. Yeah, it can help you prioritize, as you mentioned earlier, to focus on the top 20%, and then the rest, if I have tasks, I can delegate. So I'm gonna, let's say, I have new job, and I have so many new tasks to do, and I don't know where to start. I'm trying to analyze which one is the task that's most difficult, or that will give the biggest or the highest output. And then I focus on that, okay? I focus on that. And then I delegate the rest. As you said, the easier task, the one that give less outcome.
I'll just leave you with a finishing comment from that book, Essentialism. We need to change assumptions. And these assumptions are, I have to. It is important. I can do both. Now we need to replace those with core truths. I choose to. Only a few things really matter. I can do anything, not everything. So I hope that's given you a more clear understanding of working less and why it is so important in 2021. Each week, we share with you a tool that we find very useful and has benefited our life. And we hope it benefits yours.
So this week, I want to introduce you guys to a tool that's very useful, especially if you're working social media marketing or content marketing and you're planning to do a content strategy and you run out of ideas. These tools save lives. And it's called Answer to the Public. And it's a website, actually. It's not a tool, but you can type in Google, type on Google answertothepublic.com. And then there's a search bar. You type in a keyword, let's say chocolate, and then it will show you the most question asked about that specific topic on the main browser. So there, from there, you can take inspiration. So there's like, why chocolate does this and that, or what chocolate is the best for, or when do you eat chocolate, what part of the day you eat chocolate the most, and then you can craft your content strategy based on that. So the pro, that's very nice, it's very well put, and create like a nice graphs splitting why, what, when, how. The cons is like that you have limited searches, and if you want to unlock or upgrade the service, it's quite pricey. It starts from $79 a month. So if you are like a freelancer, you include this in the price of your package. If you work for an agency as well, and if you're a business, then you don't worry about it.
We'll share a link to this in the show notes. So that's it for this week. Thanks everyone for listening. And if you want more, we'll be back next Thursday for another glass of success and a new topic to discuss.
But if that is not enough and you want more, make sure to head over to our Instagram and leave a comment or send us a message if you have any questions or want to suggest wine or business topics to include in a future episodes. Remember to subscribe, rate this podcast, and recommend your friends and family who would enjoy listening to us. Next week, we have a different bottle of wine and talk about our journey to financial freedom. Take care and have a good week.
Bye.
Bye.